الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد continue discussing the مسائل and the issues related to صلاة الجمعة the issues and the مسائل that are related to صلاة الجمعة. In our previous classes, we have discussed a number of issues from them. The issue of al-ghusl. Al-ghusl, yawm al-jumu'ah. We have seen the hadith of Abi Sa'id radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-ghusl, yawm al-jumu'ati wajibun ala kulli muhtalim. Wajibun ala kulli muhtalim. That to make al-ghusl on the day of al-jumu'ah, is wajib upon every muhtalim. Yani man balag al-hulum. Yani ala kulli balighin is what is intended here. That to make the ghusl and the bathing of or the shower of yawm al-jumu'ah is wajib, an obligation upon every person who has reached the age of puberty. What is apparent from this hadith is that the ghusl is wajib. But it has preceded that it is recommended. What was the evidence for that? Here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, al-ghuslu yawm al-jumu'ati wajib. Wajib. Al-ghuslu yawm al-jumu'ah wajib ala kulli muhtalim. That the ghusl on the day of al-jumu'ah is wajib upon every person who has reached the age of puberty. But the majority of the people of knowledge have mentioned that it's sunnah or mustahab. But what is correct, and Allah knows best, is that it's sunnah mu'akkadah, that is highly recommended. But how could we understand this text here? Because we have some principles that we have learned and been working with from them, that if there's a command, this indicates that it's an obligation. Here we have the word wajib itself, the word wajib. What was the meaning of the word wajib in this text? Highly recommended. Ahsant. Mutaakid. It's mutaakid. That's right. The meaning of wajib here is mutaakid. But how do the people of knowledge deal with the likes of these texts? Any to understand this affair? Any that the word wajib here is not intended any obligatory. What it means is that it is something that is highly emphasized. And this is from the methodology of the people of knowledge and from Ahl Sunnah specifically, that whenever they discuss an issue, they gather the evidences. They gather the evidences. One who is striving to obtain the truth and be upon clarity in his deen, he will not look at an issue and look at one text or one evidence. Rather, the issue is not clarified and understood properly until all of the evidences in that particular topic are gathered and then reviewed and examined. And from here, one will be able to see the light of the truth. So there are other evidences with regards to the ghusl on the day of Jumu'ah. From them, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, من توضأ يوم الجمعة فبها ونعمت ومن اغتسل فهو أفضل ومن اغتسل فهو أفضل. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in another narration, he said that whoever made wudu, any meaning suffice with that on the day of Jumu'ah, then this is good. But whoever made the ghusl, then the ghusl is more virtuous. Then the ghusl is more virtuous. So here we see in this text that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that the wudu would suffice, but the ghusl is better. So from looking at the likes of these texts, we see now the proper understanding of wajib, meaning not that it's obligatory or a condition or a requirement, but rather it's something that's highly emphasized. There was a differentiation that the people of knowledge have made, or some of them, that some of the people of knowledge have made. And we discussed this issue, and it was mentioned that what is correct is that the ghusl on the day of Jumu'ah is sunnah mu'akkadah. Some of the people of knowledge mentioned that it's wajib. Others, they mentioned that it's recommended. But what is correct is that it's sunnah mu'akkadah, that it's highly recommended. But there could be a circumstance whenever it would be considered obligatory. When was that? Naam. This one is not for Jumu'ah, this is for Janabah.
When somebody has a bad odor.
If he has a bad odor. So therefore, sunnah mu'akkadah is highly emphasized, except in the case of the one who has a foul odor. Then it will be obligatory upon him. Because we have seen the wisdom behind this ghusl, and that is to remove the foul odor. And so that a person, he will come to this gathering, this noble gathering, in the best manner. He will not harm anyone, not from the people, nor from the angels. There is another issue that was related to this topic here, the ghusl. Al-ghuslu yawmul jumu'ah wajibun ala kulli muhtarim. And this had come also in our text that we're reading from Umdat al-Ahkam, from the hadith of Abdullah bin Umar. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned here, man ja'a minkum al-jumu'ata falyaktasil. That whoever from you comes to the jumu'ah, then let him make a ghusl. And meaning before he comes. So likewise, this text here is clarifying the previous text. Al-ghuslu wajibun, al-ghuslu yawm al-jumu'ah wajibun ala kulli muhtarim. That is highly emphasized, highly recommended, to make the ghusl on the day of Jumu'ah for everyone who is of the age of puberty. This text here from Ibn Umar radiyallahu anhuma clarifies what is intended from that. Man ja'a minkum al-jumu'ah, the one who comes to al-jumu'ah. So therefore, the one who does not come to Jumu'ah, it's not that this recommendation is not upon him. So there's no ghuslu al-jumu'ah for the one who doesn't come to salat al-jumu'ah. For example, the woman who stays home and she doesn't come, or the one who is sick and he has an excuse and he doesn't come, or the one who is under the age of puberty and he stays home and he doesn't come. It's not recommended for them to take a ghusl for the day of Jumu'ah. Rather, man ja'a minkum al-jumu'ah, the one who comes to the gathering, the one who comes to the Jumu'ah, the one who comes to the masjid, this is the sunnah for him. As for the one who does not come, then it's not a sunnah for him, and he to make the ghusl. So we have seen this issue previously. Likewise, and based upon that understanding as well, it's not recommended to take the ghusl after Jumu'ah. And the day of Jumu'ah, what is intended is before one comes to the gathering. Because the purpose of that is to come in a good manner, with a beautiful scent. And from that also, and from the recommendations of the day of Jumu'ah and Salat al-Jumu'ah, is that one, he will adorn himself in the best clothing that he has. And he will put on the best of the perfume that he has. وَنْ يَمَسَّ طِيبًا in wajid, that he would wear the best perfume. وَنْ يَمَسَّ طِيبًا in wajid, that he would brush his teeth with the siwak. And likewise, he will put on some nice perfume and the likes if it's available for him. So all of this is for the gathering, and for the one who is attending the gathering. Likewise, we had the narration that had preceded as well, and it was with regards to the one who came. To the Jumu'ah while the Imam is giving the khutbah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam is giving the khutbah, and a man, he came and sat down. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam addressed him and asked him, did he pray tahiyyat al-masjid? And the man, he said, no. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, kum, yani stand up, farka' rakatayni wa tajawwaz fihima. Stand up and pray to raka' and make them light. Make them short. There are a number of benefits related to this text as well. And from them is that it's allowed for the khatib to speak to the people directly, to speak to them directly about some affairs or some issues, especially if it's needed. Like in this case here, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he spoke to the man directly. And likewise, it's allowed for the people to speak to the khatib as well, if it's needed. As in this case here, the man, he responded. And also in a narration, by Anas radiyallahu anhu, a man, he came in one time while the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is giving a khutbah, and he mentioned that there's a great drought, and that the crops and the plants and the animals are dying and the likes like this. So he asked the Prophet to supplicate. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded, and he supplicated, and it began to rain immediately. And so here the man is speaking to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam while he's giving the khutbah. So the point is, the benefit from this issue here is that it's allowed for the imam to speak to those who are in the gathering directly if he needs to, an individual, one of them specifically, if he needs to. This is something that is allowed. And likewise, it's allowed for one of those in the gathering to speak directly to the imam, to speak directly to the imam. As for speaking one to another, this is not allowed. This is not allowed. Speaking is not allowed. And this has proceeded likewise. Even the one who commands the good or forbids the evil, it's not allowed for him to do that. And we have seen that likewise in the previous narration. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, man qala li sahibihi ansit wal imamu yakhtubu faqad lagha, aw idha qulta li sahibika ansit wal imamu yakhtubu faqad lagawta. Faqad lagawta, that if you say to your companion, meaning the one who's next to you, be quiet while the imam is giving the khutbah, then verily you have made a lagh. Then verily you have made a lagh, yani you have made a statement that is false and in vain, and it's a sin, meaning that you have decreased the reward of your jumu'ah, and you have committed an action that is not beneficial and is not good, rather it's considered foul. And here the person, he is telling an individual to be quiet, so he's forbidding him from the evil that he's upon by disturbing the khutbah. But here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned even this is not allowed. Telling him to be quiet, this is ordering him with good, and be quiet and listen, and prohibiting him from evil. But even this is not allowed. So if this is not allowed, then of course talking about worldly affairs and other than that is not allowed. And also from here, coming into the masjid and giving salam is not allowed. It's not allowed while the imam is giving the khutbah to enter the masjid and give salam. Not for the man and not for the woman. Not for the man and not for the woman. So if a sister comes in the masjid, if a sister comes in the masjid on the day of Jumu'ah, she will not give salam to the sisters. She will not walk in the door and give salam to the sisters. And if she did, the sisters will not give salam back. The sisters will not give salam back. Maybe this is something the brothers are more aware of or familiar with, and maybe some of the sisters were not knowing this, but this has been a complaint that has occurred and something that is known to happen. That sometimes sisters will come in and give salam, and the salam will go back to them, and then they will sit down and talk while the imam is giving the khutbah. This is a foul way. This is contrary to what is required. What is required during the day of Jumu'ah is that a person, he will come with honor and respect, and he will beautify himself and adorn himself and take preparations before he even leaves his home to come to the gathering. So how about whenever he gets to the gathering? Whenever he gets to the gathering, he will have the best manners and best conduct, and he will come with the intention to worship Allah. It's a gathering of ibadah. The greatest gathering through the week, and one will come with the intention, you need to listen and to benefit and to perform this great obligation and act of worship, and to perform this great obligation and act of worship. So the one who comes in, whether he's a male or a female, he'll come in quietly, and he will not give salam if the imam is making if the imam is giving the sermon. He will not give salam. If somebody gave salam, it will not be responded to them. It's not allowed to give salam, and it's not allowed to respond to the salam of somebody who gave salam. And if somebody sneezed, he will not say Alhamdulillah out loud. He will say it to himself quietly. If somebody said it out loud, it's not allowed to respond to them. It's not allowed to respond to them. What a person should be doing on the day in the Jumu'ah, where the imam is giving the khutbah, he should be listening attentively and trying to benefit and understand what is being presented from the khatib, so that he can benefit from the gathering, and then to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon ikhlas and upon sincerity, and to complete that. After the prayer is finished, then he can speak to his brothers, or she can speak to her sisters and give salam as they like, alhamdulillah. But during the khutbah, this is not allowed. This is not allowed. So as for the imam speaking to someone, this is allowed. As for someone speaking to the imam, this is allowed, and this is only if it's needed. This is not something that someone will stand up and ask a question, for example, in the middle of the khutbah. But if it's something that's needed and required, then at this time, alhamdulillah, it's allowed. Likewise, in this narration, we see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he ordered him to pray two rak'ah and to make them light. Qum, farka rak'atayni wa tajawwaz fihima. Stand up and make two rak'ah and make them light. Tajawwaz fihima ay khaffif. Khaffif huma. Make them light. So here we see this is from the times when it's legislated and recommended, it's from the Sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam to make the prayer light. To make the prayer light. So here's an example. When is it? There are a number of times. There are a number of different times when it's legislated and from the Sunnah to lighten the prayer, to make it brief, and to shorten it and to pray it in its briefest manner. And fulfilling all of the pillars properly and all of the obligations and the likes, but to make it brief. From those times is here. If somebody entered the masjid while the imam is giving the khutbah. Another time?
For Adhan al-Jum'ah.
Ahsant. So if somebody came in on Jum'ah and he's making the Mu'adhan is making the Adhan, Ahsant. Likewise, he will pray too briefly at this time, likewise, so he can catch the khutbah from the beginning. The other time?
Sunnat al-Fajr.
It's come in the Haditha Aisha radiallahu anha that she said, كان النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يخفف الركعتين اللتين قبل الفجر حتى أقول أقرع بأم الكتاب. That she used to say, radiallahu anha, that verily he would shorten, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the two rak'ah before Fajr, so short that I would say to myself, did he even recite the Fatiha? And meaning that he would make them very brief and shorter than the normal. Shorter than normal. So we have now three times. Another time? The witr time, if you're running out of time. No doubt, you would make them light here. Ahsant. Another time. That's at the end of witr, huh? If you're running out of time. Salat al-Khawf. I don't know about that one. Then another. But Salat al-Khawf has a way to pray it though. The intent behind the imam making it light has been clarified by the sunnah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, for example, he would recite Surah Al-Sajdah and Al-Insan and Fajr on Jumu'ah, and this is considered light. he prayed light. He's the one who said pray light. If you're the imam, then pray light, and this is what he prayed. And so that the lightness that the imam is required to perform, this is clarified in the sunnah. What did he pray? So for example, to recite from Tiwal al-Mufassal in Fajr, this is considered light. This is considered light. Yani, so that has preceded. We're looking for some other specific examples here. Likewise, before the witr prayer, before the night prayer. Before the night prayer, it has come, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that one should pray two light rak'ah. So also it's from the sunnah, before praying the night prayer, like opening up the night prayer, the one who opens up the night prayer, he would open up the night prayer with two very brief and short rak'ah. This is also from the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Another time? All of these that we mentioned so far, they have a dalil for them. You understand that that's the point. This one here, and maybe if you're tired, I don't know of a raka'at before sleeping. And it has come here, tahiyyat al-masjid, while the imam is making the khutbah. The Prophet told him to make it light. It has come before Fajr that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he made it light. Himself, he made it light. The example the brother made here, that one is like in a situation where you have no other choice. You have no other choice in the end if you're running out of time, for example. But really we're looking for evidences in the sunnah, what has come that it's legislated and from the way of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to lighten the prayer. And one of the other times, it come in the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the Prophet told him that whenever you stand in the night prayer, if you stand in the night prayer, then pray two rak'ah, to pray two light rak'ah. So this is also a place where it's legislated. And another time, and Allah knows best, is in tawaf. Another time is in tawaf. Rak'ata at tawaf. You'll make them light. You'll make them brief. These are not times whenever a person, he will pray for a long time and lengthen his prayer. Even it's been mentioned with regards to the Fajr prayer that Sa'id ibn Jubair, rahimahullah, He seen somebody praying a long time, the sunnah prayer of Fajr, and he reprimanded him. And he reprimanded him. And then he said, is Allah going to punish me for salah? And he told him, no, but he will punish you for opposing the sunnah. But he will punish you for opposing the sunnah. So it's not in the Fajr time, the sunnah Fajr is not from the sunnah to lengthen that particular prayer, whether it's from the sunnah to shorten it. So the point is that there is a number of places to shorten the prayer. From them is the sunnah of Fajr. From them is the one who prays tahiyat al-masjid while the imam is making the khutbah. And from them is two rakah, opening up the night prayer. And from them is the sunnah of tawaf, the two rakah of tawaf. And maybe there are a number of other places also from them this affair. So it's important to know the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's sometimes it's legislated to strive hard, and other times it's legislated to make it light, to make it light. So one, he will not think that to do something more every time is better, but rather what is required is to do something according to the sunnah, is to stop when the sunnah stops and to go when the sunnah goes. And this is what it means to be a Muslim. A Muslim, any alladhi aslama, yani istaslama lillahi subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he surrendered to Allah. And from surrendering to Allah is to obey his messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So when the messenger goes, a Muslim goes. And when the messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he stops, the Muslim, he stops. Like this. And the Salaf, they used to say that, naduru ma sunnati haythu darat. I think that it's Al-Auza'i rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that. Naduru ma sunnah haythu darat. That we go with the sunnah wherever it goes. If the sunnah stops, we stops. If the sunnah goes, it goes. If it turns this way, that way, wherever the legislation directs us, we follow that. We follow that. So this is a benefit and to be aware of, that a believer, he suffices with the sunnah. And he will not think that he can do better than the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or he has a way that's better than the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Likewise, from the issues that have preceded, what would one do if someone gives salam again? He would do nothing. He would pay him no attention. He would pay him no attention. After he was finished, if he would like, he could advise him. But as for if someone spoke to him during the khutbah, he would pay him no attention. He would pay him no attention. What about whenever the imam sits down for the julasa between the two khutbah? Can you speak now?
No.
Is it allowed to speak now?
No.
It's allowed to speak now. It's allowed to speak. The hadith here mentioned, what imamu yakhtubu? Idha kulta li sahibika ansit yawm al-jumu'ah, what imamu yakhtubu? Faqad laghawta. If you said to your companion, or the one who's next to you, be quiet on the day of Jumu'ah while the imam is making the khutbah, then verily you have made the lagu. Then verily you have fallen into sin and done an action that is not permissible. So the people of Nara, as they mentioned, this is whenever the imam is giving the khutbah. So for example, until the imam stands, it's allowed to speak. Whenever the imam sits down, it's allowed to speak. Whenever he's, meaning while he's giving the khutbah. But we mentioned some details there. And the point is here is to know the ruling. So we want to know the ruling, we want to know what is allowed, and then what you all have mentioned is what is best. Remember that? There's what is allowed and there's what is best. A believer, he will always not want to do what is best, but likewise he wants to know what is allowed, because there are circumstances and situations he might find himself in. And if he didn't know what is allowed and he thought something was haram and it's not haram, he'll find himself in a tight situation, and he doesn't need to be in a tight situation. You understand that? So by knowing these details, then he will be able to have ease in his life, and the deen is easy. But he will always strive to choose and prefer for himself that which is better and most virtuous, even if it's not obligatory. But knowing that it's something that is allowed, even though one, he will not do it, maybe it'll come a time when he needs to do it. Maybe it'll come a time when he has to do it. And he'll find, sometimes you find yourself in life in certain situations. And so in those situations, you are in need of knowing this ruling. And you're in need of knowing this ruling. And so sometimes the knowledge is like this. Sometimes the knowledge is like this. For example, a person who is an electrician or a carpenter or a baker or a cook, and they all have tools that they use. But for example, the one who is a baker, for example, there's certain pots and pans he only uses very rarely. But if he doesn't have them when he needs them, he's going to find himself in trouble. And not every day he's going to be using the big pot or this specific type of machine or whatever the case for his cooking, but he's going to need it sometime. If it's there when he needs it, alhamdulillah, he's good. Likewise, a person who does electricity or he does other types of job, there's type of tools that one has in his toolbox he doesn't use, maybe one or two times a year. But whenever he needs them, they're there. Whenever he needs them, they're there. So we have them. So knowledge is like that too. There are issues that you will not use daily, but whenever you are in need of them, the knowledge will benefit you. So the knowledge is a light for you and it will protect you by the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. By the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the issue now is, likewise, it has come in another narration. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that وَمَنْ مَسَّ الْحَصَى فَخَدْ لَغَى وَمَنْ مَسَّ الْحَصَى فَخَدْ لَغَى, that whoever touches the rocks, then verily he likewise has made the lagu. Yani he also has committed a sin or an action that is an action of falsehood, or he has decreased the reward of his jumu'ah. So the one who tells his friend to be quiet, he made the lagu. And the one who's playing with the stones likewise, on the ground, he has made lagu. Maybe we don't have stones now, but we have like pieces of carpet, for example. Or even worse than that, we have phones. Some people, you'll find them in the Jumu'ah. If a person right here, he made lagu. Lagu is batil. Some of the people of knowledge have mentioned lagu is ifim. Is ifim, sin. Is sin. And others mentioned that it's batil. Amrun batilun mardud. An action that is rejected and not accepted. An action that has no benefit. Others mentioned that not only does it have no benefit, rather it's a sin against that person. And it's not allowed. It's impermissible. So to say that, to tell the person to be quiet, this one is considered lagu. To play with the stones, this one is considered lagu. So how about the one who is on his phone? How about the one who is on his phone? Even some of them, they'll be responding left and right, or he's surfing the internet, or the likes like this, and the imam is making the khutbah. Others, they turn into cameramen, and they're focusing and zooming in and zooming out, and the likes and recording, all of this during the khutbah. This is not befitting. It's not allowed. This is not respecting this great right, the Islamic right, any sacred right of the Jumu'ah prayer in this gathering, that a believer, he will come with his heart devoted to Allah and attached to Allah, remembering Allah and remembering this day, the day of Jumu'ah. It's the day that the human being was created, and it's the day that he was taken out of Jannah, he was placed into this life, and it's the day that all of mankind is going to be resurrected and that they're going to be held accountable for their actions. And all of these things, this is what this day is about. So a believer who remembers these things on this day, so he will not come to this gathering playing with a phone, taking pictures and videos and the likes like this. And a number of times there will be videotaping people that do not want to be videotaped and they're not pleased with being videotaped and the likes like this. And so this is something that the Muslims, they should wake up to. Even if a person, he's seen somebody videoing during the khutbah, what would he do? No, he would wait till after the khutbah, and he would advise him and tell him, look, this is not permissible, akhi. This is not permissible, brother. This is not allowed, brother. You should pay attention and you should listen. You should pay attention and you should listen. So if a person, he's not even allowed to tell a person to be quiet, if he's not even allowed to piddle with the stones on the ground in front of him, or something on the ground in front of him, then how about the rest of these affairs? That's the point. That's the point. So the heart, it should be devoted to Allah in the Jumu'ah, and the person who should be facing the khatib, and he, with his body and with his mind, and he paying attention and focusing. And this is the point, and from the khutbah, and from coming in the very beginning, and from coming in the very beginning. After this, the author, he says, rahimahullahu ta'ala wa anhu, yani wa abi hurayrah radiyallahu anhu, anna rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qala, man ightasala yawm al-jumu'ah thumma raha fakanna kharraba badana, wa man raha fi as-sa'ati ath-thaniya fakanna kharraba baqara, wa man raha fi as-sa'ati ath-thalitha fakanna kharraba kabshan aqran, wa man raha fi as-sa'ati ar-rabi'ah fakanna kharraba dajajatan, ومن راح في الساعة الخامسة فكأنما خرب بيضة فإذا خرج الإمام حاضرت الملائكة يستمعون الذكر يستمعون الذكر. So the author, he mentioned a narration which is from Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu likewise, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, من اغتسل يوم الجمعة, whoever makes the ghusl on the day of Jumu'ah, ثم راح ثُمَّ رَاحَ فَكَأَنَّمَا خَرَّبَ بَدَنَا. And then he went out. Raha, some of the people of Luga, they mentioned that Raha يَرُوحُ روح رَوَاحًا, it means الذهاب في آخر النهار. الذهاب في آخر النهار. And the opposite of Raha is غَدَى يَغْدُو أُغْدُو غُدُوًا. And they mentioned that that is الذهاب في أول النهار. But here we have an evidence that indicates contrary to that. Then غدا and راحة, they mean الذهاب مطلقا. يعني here we see ثم راحة. يعني في الساعة الأولى, in the first time, and in the very beginning of the day. The one who made the ghusl, and then he left down to the Jumu'ah in the very beginning of the day, the very first hour in the morning time. Then it's as if he has slaughtered a badana, yani for the sake of Allah. كأنه قرب بدنا. البدنه here, what is intended, yani anaqa, the camel. It's as if he has slaughtered a camel for the sake of Allah, the reward that he has, the one who makes the ghusl. And here the ghusl is intended. And in these affairs here, in order to have these rewards, there are steps one must take, yani to follow this narration. First he makes the ghusl. And then he leaves out in the very first hour, meaning in the morning, just after the shuruq, in the early mornings of, and the early hours of the morning. The one who left out to the Jumu'ah at this time, it's as if he slaughtered or sacrificed a camel. وَمَنْ رَاحَ فِي السَّاعَةِ الثَّانِيَةِ, and the one who goes out at the second hour. What is intended here by sa'a is not 60 minutes, but rather a portion of the day. And whoever goes out in the second hour, فَكَأَنَّمَا خَرَّبَ بَقَرًا, then it's as if he slaughtered and sacrificed a cow, any of the reward that he will have for leaving out this early. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَمَنْ رَحَ فِي السَّاعَةِ الثَّالِثَةِ فَكَأَنَّمَا خَرَّبَ كَبْشًا أَقْرًا, and the one who goes out in the third hour of the morning, then it's as if he has sacrificed a ram that has horns, yani from the best of the rams, a ram that has horns, yani the one that is strong and healthy. وَمَنْ رَحَ فِي السَّاعَةِ الرَّابِعَةِ فَكَأَنَّمَا خَرَّبَ دَجَاجَةً, and the one who left out in the fourth hour, then it's as if he has slaughtered and sacrificed a chicken. وَمَنْ رَحَ فِي السَّاعَةِ الْخَامِسَةِ, and the one who leaves out in the fifth hour, فَكَأَنَّمَا قَرَّبَ بَيْضًا, then it's as if he has slaughtered or sacrificed, yani as a charity, an egg. فَإِذَا خَرَجَ الْإِمَامُ حَضْرَةَ الْمَلَائِكَةِ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الذِّكْرِ. So if the imam comes out, now this is after the fifth hour, huh? So after the imam comes out, then the angels, they will attend the gathering, and they will listen to the reminder. They will listen to the reminder. So here we see the virtue of hastening to the Jumu'ah and the reward of the people with regards to that. The virtue of hastening to the Jumu'ah and to come early. At-tabkir, Yawm al-Jumu'ah. First and foremost, al-ghusl. Al-ghusl wa tabkir. To make the ghusl, and also to come early to the Jumu'ah. That the people, they have, the one who comes earlier in this manner, he made the ghusl, and then he came earlier, he has a greater reward. So the one who makes the ghusl and then comes earlier, he has a greater reward than the one who made ghusl and came later. The one who came in the very first hours of the morning after the Fajr time, and he means somebody who will pray Fajr. And then he will go back home. And then he will make ghusl. And then he will come back after the shuruq. And in the first hours of the morning, he is the one who has the reward as if he has slaughtered a camel. He has the reward of as if he has slaughtered a camel in charity. The one who came in the second hour, then he has the reward as if he has slaughtered a cow. And the one who came in the third hour, he has the reward as if he has slaughtered a ram with horns, and a healthy ram. And the one who came in the fourth hour is as if he has slaughtered a chicken. And the one who has came in the fifth hour is as if he has offered any as a charity an egg. So all of them, they have a reward. But the one who came early, and the one who came first, and the one who preceded, and he preceded in the ajr likewise. He preceded in the reward. Now,
so this means that if the one comes after the shuruq, and he made the ghusl, and then he come, and he stayed in the masjid until the...
Oh, yes. And he stayed in the masjid. Not he came and then he sat down and left. He came and he stayed. He came and he stayed. He stayed in the masjid. Naam. He, the one who came and he waits for the khutbah. The one who comes at this time and he waits. He will remain in the masjid yani, until the khatib he comes and stands, until he finishes the Jumu'ah. This is what is intended. This is what is intended. So we see the virtue of this affair. And also we see that the angels, they attend the Jumu'ah. The angels, they attend the Jumu'ah and they listen to the dhikr. And we see again the great status of the khutbah, the actual sermon itself, the actual sermon, the admonition itself, and that the angels they listen to that. The angels they listen to that. They come in and they listen to that. Likewise, it has also been narrated from Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Idha kana yawmul Jumu'ah." كان على كل باب من أبواب المسجد ملائكة يكتبون الأول فالأول. That whenever it's on the day of Jumu'ah, that on the every door from the doors of the masjid, there are angels that are writing the first and the first. Any those who come in first and those who come in after them, one after another, they're writing. And so those people here in this narration that are hastening to come, the angels, they are taking their names down and writing their names down and recording the reward they have for at-tabkir, for coming early. Those who come early, they have this virtue and this reward. There are angels writing their names. This is something that a believer, he believes in. This is from Arkan al-Iman. Min Arkan al-Iman al-Sitta al-Imanu bil-Malaika. From the six pillars of Iman and sincere faith is to believe in the angels. Is to believe in angels. So to believe in the angels means to believe in them in detail, and that which has come in detail, and to believe in them in general, and that which has come in general. And that which has come in general is that there are creatures that are created from light. There are creatures that are created from light. خُلِقَتْ مِنْ الْمَلَائِكَةِ خُلِقَتْ مِنْ النُّورِ خُلِقَتْ الْمَلَائِكَةُ مِنْ النُّورِ. That the angels, they're created from light. لَا يَعْسُونَ اللَّهَ مَا أَمَرَهُمْ وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. They do not disobey Allah when He commands them. They do whatever they're commanded. This is the general understanding of the angels. But there are specific details with regards to certain angels by names or by occupation or function any that they have, or numbers and the likes like this, or descriptions any that have come in details. We believe in those details and details. So a Muslim, he has a general belief in angels, and from the detailed belief in angels is he believes that on the day of Jumu'ah, there are angels at every door of the masjid, and they're writing the names of those who enter. And they're writing the names of those who enter. This is an honor. This is an honor. The angel, he will write a person's name. That an angel, he will record a person's name, that he came early, or even that he came on time. SubhanAllah, in our days now, never mind the one who comes early, just come on time. And subhanAllah, so many people, they come late. But to come early, this is the virtue. But at least to come on time. At least to come on time. And many times a person, he will live in his life and he will have hardship coming to the masjid, and he'll make dua. Oh Allah, help me to attend the Jumu'ah. And then whenever Allah opens the door for him, and now he is allowed to come to Jumu'ah, and now he doesn't have any concern and he comes late. He'll come in the very last. And before he's begging Allah to open the avenues for him, he can't make it to the Jumu'ah because of his job or because of his work. And then after that, Allah, he answers his supplication and opens the avenue for him, and he gives him Jumu'ah off, for example, or the hours he's off. He has no excuse. And then he will delay and he will be negligent and he will neglect this right, and then he'll come late. And just not long before that, he is begging Allah, oh Allah, help me come to Jumu'ah. Oh Allah, make it easy for me to get off for Jumu'ah. And then the Jumu'ah, he gets it off, and then he doesn't even come on time. And he has no excuse. This is not having shyness from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is not having honor and respect for the rights of Allah azza wa jal. So the Jumu'ah is something great. We try to come on time. Try to come on time to benefit in this manner. If a person, he was delayed for a particular reason, he has an excuse, his excuse is between him and Allah. But in general, a believer, he will make effort to come early. And at least to come on time. And at least to come on time. So the angels, they're writing the names. The angels, they're writing the names of those who come one after the other. فَإِذَا جَلَسَ الْإِمَامُ طَوُّوا السُّحُفُ وَجَاءُوا يَسْتَمِعُونَ الذِّكْرِ. Whenever the imam comes, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, those angels, they roll up the scriptures. They fold up the scriptures, the writing of those names, it ceases. And they stop that. Why? to come in and to listen to the reminder, to come in and to listen to the admonition. Again, to clarify the status of the khutbah, that there are angels that will come in and they will stop what they're doing. They will stop what they're doing to come in and to listen to the reminder. So therefore, a believer likewise, فَسْعُوا إِلَى ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, that he will hasten and stop what he's doing and come to the reminder. So from the benefits of this narration, we see the virtue of bathing, taking the ghusl, the shower, the ghusl of Yawm al-Jumu'ah, and coming early and hastening to be from the first and foremost to come to the masjid on the day of Jumu'ah. Likewise, we see the virtue of the khutbah, and that this is something that the angels, they attend. And so this is something that's very important to strive to be from those who are, their names are written in these scrolls, written with the angels. And as for those who come later, they're not written. Any meaning as from those who come early, or from those who came on in the proper time. And so the angels, they're writing those who come early, the names of those who come early, and the names of those who come on time. After that, then this virtue ceases and is finished, and is finished. Although if a person, he came late, so long as he caught the rak'ah of the prayer, alhamdulillah, he prayed the Jumu'ah prayer and it suffices him and it's sufficient and it's good. But no doubt it's deficient. No doubt there's deficiency in the fact that he missed, unless he had an excuse. Also, we see in this narration the reward here. The reward here is according to the means that are taken. So the people of Nahl, as they mentioned, that to have this reward of hastening and coming early, the reward of slaughtering a camel or a cow or a ram and the likes, this is for the one who follows these steps. And he made the ghusl, and then he came at this time or at that time. Likewise, from the benefits of this narration, we see that charity and good deeds, they're accepted by Allah Azza wa Jal, even if they're few. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا تحكرن من المعروف شيئا, that you should not belittle anything from the good deeds. So here, even this person, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is mentioning, he's coming in the very last hour, and in the very last hour before the Imam, he stands. It's as if he had offered as a charity an egg. Yani he had given something. He has a reward with Allah for that. So therefore, no matter how small the deed is, a believer, he will not belittle that, or he will not turn away from that, or refuse to do that, thinking that it's too little. Rather, he will do whatever he can. If he cannot do the most, he will at least do something. If he cannot give $100 in charity, he will at least give one. Yani, for example, he would do something. So no matter what he has, if he's sincere with Allah Azza wa Jal and he follows the legislation properly, he has a reward, even if it's something small. Likewise, we see that the people, they fluctuate and they differentiate in their status and rank and the reward that they have with their Lord according to their actions likewise. So the one who came early, he has a greater than the reward than the one who came later. Although they all have a reward and they all have a status and rank with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But the one who preceded, he preceded in virtue. The one who preceded, he preceded in virtue and likewise in reward. So the people, they're like this. The people, some of them, I mean the believers, the Muslims, some of them, they proceed in righteous deeds. And therefore, they have a higher reward, a higher status and rank, and a greater reward with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of their effort. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. That verily, the most noble with Allah from amongst you is the one who has the most piety, the one who is most obedient and fearful of Allah, and applying and abiding by His commandments, subhanahu wa ta'ala, and avoiding His prohibitions. So here, the fact that a person, he has status in the society, or he's rich, or he has a lofty and noble lineage, this does not benefit him here in this case. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did not attach the reward to any of these affairs, rather the one who made the ghusl and came first. Whether he's the amir, or whether he is the layman on the street, whatever the case may be, whether he has a lofty lineage or whether he does not have a strong or good lineage, whoever comes first, this is the reward that he has. So the reward is based on the action and the effort. And this is what will help a believer and gain him status and rank in this life and in the hereafter. This life and in the hereafter. Here we see the mentioning of charity. There were a number of affairs mentioned. The one who slaughtered a camel, the one who slaughtered a cow, the one who slaughtered a ram, the one who slaughtered a chicken, the one who slaughtered, and you mentioned slaughtered here, what does it mean? Is offered as a charity, an egg. What is intended in this narration is general charity. As for the slaughtering for like the hadi, and for the aqiqah, and for on Hajj, and for on Eid, and the likes like this, then the only thing that will suffice is Bahimat al-Anam. It will only be from the camels, or the cows, or the sheep. Yani the sheep. And from the sheep is the ram. The ram, the goat, the sheep, this is all called ghanam. So yani we shouldn't misunderstand this narration and think that, for example, on Eid al-Adha, one could slaughter a chicken. One could slaughter a chicken because it's mentioned here slaughtering a chicken. That's not what in this narration, it's just general charity. What is mentioned is general charity. The one who slaughtered, if he slaughtered a chicken as a charity, then he will have that reward. But that's not the same as the one who slaughtered something greater than that, like a ram or a sheep, for example, or the one who slaughtered a cow or a camel. As for on Eid al-Adha, for the Nusuk and the Udhiyya, then these are legislated animals that are allowed, and they're from Bahimatul Anam. They're from the cattle. It has to be from a camel or from a cow or from the sheep. Or the goats and the likes like this. The sheep, the ram, and the goat, these are all considered one type of an animal. So this is also and he clarified in this narration. After this, the author, he mentions another narration discussing the issue of the time of Jumu'ah. What is the time of Jumu'ah? When does it begin? Or when is it the time allowed to pray? And when does it end? And the likes like that. And we will take that in the class to come, inshallah. If there are any questions or comments or corrections. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم.